Well, happy Mother's Day, everyone. Thank you, Alan, for the invitation to read God's word and to reflect together on God's message to us today. Luke 15 is a chapter that considers the stories of lost and found. So I want us to pause for a moment and think about stories that we know of lost and found. The joy of finding something that is lost to us, especially something important at the time or something valuable. So the first few examples, and I'm sure you'll think of ones of your own, the examples I have are, I'm going out to a job interview and I can't find my car keys. So you find the rising tension of, I want to get there on time. This is very important to me, and I can't find my car keys. So I'm looking, where do I look for my car keys? What did I do yesterday? Where could I have put them? So the story is a story of something that is lost that we desperately want to find. Or maybe it's a story about something that is valuable to you. So maybe you're at a friend's house and you take off your wedding ring to wash the dishes after dinner. Or maybe you go swimming in a pool at a resort and you take off a precious heirloom ring that has been given to you. And you take it off and put it beside the pool to keep it safe. And you forget it. And then you think, oh, where is that ring? That ring that is so important to me. And that feeling of, oh no, something is lost. And then the motivation to go back and to search and to ask and to seek to find this important item. Or maybe something more important to that. A person is looking for their birth parent that they've never known, or their lost sibling that has been separated from them during childhood. Or maybe it's you looking for a lost friend, a relationship that broke down that you realize now that you particularly valued and you want to reconnect with that person. And that story of researching and seeking and going to great lengths to find. And I've seen stories like that on television, and it's an amazing journey to watch somebody who's looking for this part of themselves that they want to reconnect with. And it takes us on that journey, and it really resonates with us. And so I reflected on, why is that? Why do these lost and found stories touch us deeply? Why do we get so invested in them? And I thought, well, I actually think that is because we are created to be in relationship with God from the beginning, and we are separated from that relationship. And so there's a part of our brain that seeks that connection. This lost and found story is very important to our existence, our beings, because we're at the core of our being, we are to be in a loving relationship with our Creator. So this is the story that we're going to really reflect on today, is this story of these two sons. And for me, both sons, in different ways, are lost to the loving kindness of their father. And we will reflect on that a little bit further. Today, I want to call all people who are lost back to a God who desperately loves them. And the question is, will you come back to your loving father? So the stories today come from chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, and I'd like to invite Graham Donald to come up and read Luke to us, please. Thank you, Graham.
Good morning, everyone. Reading, as Melinda says, Luke 15, it's 15 verses 1 to 32. And there's several stories here. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the sheep, the lost sheep, until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need to repent. But suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for the distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to feed into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' The father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe out and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came to near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What is going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The elder brother became angry and refused to go in, for his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, you kill the fat calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' This is the word of the Lord."
So in this chapter, there are three magnificent stories. They're feel-good stories. They communicate a great truth about God the Father. God is a God who delights in the lost being found, in sinners coming back to him and finding life. The lost sheep story is one of my favourites. This sheep who was lost, the shepherd goes out to find him. He obviously wakes up in the morning, he looks at his flock, each and every one of them he loves, and he notices one is missing. And it is important enough for him to leave his 99 sheep, knowing that they are safe, that they are fed, that they have each other to care for them. He's prepared to leave them to go out and to seek this lost sheep. And he delights when he finds this lost sheep. He puts them on the shoulders, the care, the love, the protection, and the forgiveness. There's no censure about going out and getting lost. There's rejoicing that this sheep is found. And he brings the sheep back to the flock, and there's great rejoicing that this little sheep has been found. I think that's the story of my testimony. That is how I feel about myself. The next story is about a woman and a lost coin. She realizes her coin is lost and it's really important to her. So she spends a lot of time looking for this coin until she finds it. And isn't it wonderful that the people come together and they rejoice with this woman that she's found this coin? And in the same way, I tell you, say the scriptures, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Every person who is lost, when they are found, there is rejoicing in heaven. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful hope that we have. God is overjoyed when a solitary sinner turns back and is found. So today we arrive at our story of the prodigal son. And I want us to have a look at the context of the chapter so that we get a feeling for why Jesus is telling these stories. So the first verse is, now the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So there's two groups, tax collectors and sinners and Pharisees and teachers of the law. One are despised sinners, the other are morally upright. And they're trusting in their own righteousness, and they're disgusted at these people who are named the sinners. And they feel that it's scandalous that Jesus would accept them. It's to these two groups of people that these stories are being told. That's important, and I'll come back to it a bit later. In this context, we hear this story about the prodigal son. So prodigal is not a word found in the scriptures. This is something that people have called this story over time. So the word prodigal apparently comes from the Latin meaning prodigious, which is reckless, extravagant, and lavish. This son is reckless, extravagant, and lavish with his father's money. And he squanders his wealth until he hits rock bottom and realizes, I actually need the loving care of my family and my father. And so he returns to his father. As Alan alluded to earlier, more recently, people have been starting to talk about this story as the prodigal father, meaning God is the prodigal, meaning that God is reckless, extravagant, and lavish in his love for us. That when we were separated from him, he would send his only son into the world to live and to die for us, because God loves us so very much. I think that's something that we could all reflect on, how much God loves us in a reckless and lavish way. Back to the story. When that son comes home, after saying to his dad, you know what, it would actually be better for me if you were dead, but you're not, so can I just have my money now? Leaving his family home, not looking back, and wasting all of that wealth, the son returns. What would we expect the father to, how would we expect the father to react to that? And then how does the father react to that? Compassion, grace, forgiveness, extravagant love. The message to us is clear. No matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, come home to the Father. Because no sin is too great, and God desires to offer us forgiveness through Jesus. And God went to great lengths to win us back to him. We were designed from the very beginning to be in relationship with him, and God showed us his loving kindness and his power. We saw it all throughout the Old Testament. We saw it in the life of Jesus, who came to earth, God in flesh, never sinned, and yet paid the price for our sins, that we might be able to come to him and be clothed in his righteousness, restored to relationship with God, where we are safe, secure, loved, and cherished in the arms of our loving God. I found this picture. Of all the artworks that I looked at on the internet, this one felt to me like what it's like when we come home to God our Father for the first time, or if we have sinned against him and that's got in our way when we come to him again, in the arms of the loving Father. But then there's a twist in the tale. It's the story of the second son. And naturally, we have some sympathy from him. The brother has gone off. He's wasted his half. And now the father's giving him more, probably out of the brother's half. We kind of get it. What the brother has to say in this situation tells us something about him and his relationship with his father and with others. This picture, I think, shows you the attitude of the brother. You can kind of see his body language. He's not really happy. I think this one shows it better. The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders. And yet you don't even give me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father says, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." The son's response makes me wonder, did he really realize all that was available to him because of his relationship with the father? I also started to wonder, does he really know that he's in partnership building something together with his father? Or is he just acting out of duty and obligation and resenting it? We don't get the sense that he's thankful to be in partnership with his father. I think that this son is lost too. Lost to what it means to be part of a loving family. Unaware of all the riches that this affords him. And unwilling to be generous in sharing this wealth with others. I think these stories are representative of the two groups that Jesus is talking to in chapter 15. The sinners are like the lost son, and the Pharisees and the teachers are like the elder brother. But no matter where we start, no matter which group we find ourselves in, the Father offers open, welcoming arms. Through Jesus, he offers acceptance and forgiveness. And in both situations, the Father is inviting them into loving relationship. "My son," the Father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." So, who are we most like? There will be some who are like younger brothers, like me, who didn't have a relationship with God, was not a church person, who decided to go my own way, who rejected relationship with God. And there's others who have always been in God's family, but are letting something getting in the way of being in partnership with God, of building his kingdom together. Either way, God says, come home to me. Repent, find acceptance and forgiveness. So some will be like the older brother, knowing God and his ways, but feeling that you've become a slave to duty and forgetting you're a loved member of God's family. Maybe even resentful that others don't work as hard as you, or resentful that someone's going to give their life to Jesus on their deathbed and never do a day of service and get the same reward of eternal life with God. If that's you, then take this opportunity to humble yourself, to accept God's offer of lavish love and kindness and forgiveness and acceptance, and allow that to flow through you generously to others. If you've been a Pharisee, lived your whole life being good, doing what you thought was right, and thinking that somehow that makes you okay with God, that is not the case. The scriptures are clear. Only those who realize Jesus provides our salvation and that we can do nothing to earn it can be receive the forgiveness that God offers. So come to God and receive this gift of eternal life today. It doesn't matter who we are, where we've come from, the real message of this passage today for everyone is God is a kind and loving Father. He desires that no one would perish, but that everybody would repent and find relationship with him. God desires that everyone would experience that true sense of belonging, find comfort in the arms of a loving God, find acceptance, and rejoice in his eternal gift. And this invitation is open to us all, without exception. So come to Lord Jesus today and live. Let us be the congregation like the 99 sheep, or the friends of the woman with the lost coin, or the angels in heaven who rejoice at the one that was lost and now is found.